is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Well, there we are, boy, everybody.
Man.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, they said it couldn't be done. They said, you won't go to Christmas Con and do a remote Deck the Hallmark in separate rooms. And we said, yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Anybody who knows us knows that we love challenges.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And
when somebody threw out this idea, they were like, guys,
I've got this great idea. Yeah.
You go to Edison, New Jersey. You go to the same hotel. Separate rooms.
That's right.
Record the show remotely. It'll be a riot. And I said, I don't know if it's gonna be a riot or not, but yeah, we will try it.
What if you
made up so far excuse. Two thumbs up.
What if we made up an excuse like the power cord to the soundboard we left at the convention center? Like, what if we just said that, like, to be like a fun excuse, so it looks like we're doing this on the fly, even though we've got it totally planned out? What if we did that?
That's not a bad idea, because I don't want people giving us more dumb ideas, because we love a good challenge.
That's true. I will say this. This is not a bit, but we have to have traces on Whisper Watch. She had a little bit of the laryngitis, and she's drinking her tea. She is with us, but she's been instructed by the doctor to only whisper. And so that's where Trace is right now. And so if you hear her... Yeah, I know, Trace. And maybe it sounds like a strain. It sounds like a strain when you're normally talking.
So you're a strain.
Just keep it to a minimum if you could, Trace.
But the problem is, they took the door off this room. So.
Yep. We're staying at one of them hotels where they take the doors off the hinges. You know how it goes.
Guys, I'm kidding. I look like I'm in a jail.
This would have never happened at the Red Roof Inn, I can tell you that right now.
Hey, they didn't have any room for us, Rick, with the Boss Baby Fest.
That's right. It's going strong. We're talking three, baby. We're talking trifecta. Trilogy.
Ends. Now,
Boss Toddler.
You had to shut it down. We are wearing some pajamas.
Pajamas.
Created by Double Decker Andy, who just...
Man.
Look at that.
Crushed it.
That's so cool. I love
it. So great. I love the Duraldi's already jealous.
Yeah, he is. Panda, yeah. You have so many pajamas. So, like, it's going to be tough to work these into your circulation.
My collection is getting out of control.
Yeah, and you're so thrilled you've just taken your nose and eyes just off the screen entirely.
Is this better voice? I can't see myself.
This is just the dumbest thing in the world. God, how did we get to here? Things were going so well for us.
The challenge. I don't know what you want from us. If somebody wants to email in and be like, you guys won't record from Hawaii, like...
Yeah, we'll try. You put the bill. We're
having such a good time here at Christmas Con when we're recording this on Saturday night. What a blast it is to see our friends. Panda, what's been your favorite part so far?
Oh, guys, beyond doubt. Just meeting all the great fans, getting a chance to sign some books and get to know everybody. It's been wonderful seeing them live and in person, especially putting names and faces together. It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to go with what I'm calling the double-decker dinner, because it's an official annual tradition. We just finished up the first annual double-decker dinner where, 15 of our nearest and dearest double-deckers who are in Bramble Jam Plus subscribers joined us for dinner. We called an audible. We couldn't get in the Cheesecake Factory. It still worked out great. It was a blast. We laughed and just had so much fun. So, and now we're here recording remotely and on delay, which is my favorite.
It's the best way to do it, I think. And I will say this, being here in Edison, New Jersey, which is, you know, New York's fourth cousin removed.
Just removed, really, not once or twice removed, just removed completely.
Fourth removed, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it really makes me miss, yeah, that Greenville. I don't know about you,
Bruce. Oh, yeah,
for sure. Oh, yeah, love that. Yeah, that Greenville.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Some things don't change even when you're recording remotely. That's one of the things that I struggle with words some days.
Yeah, you said it, pal. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, that Greenville.
Hey, Panda, you have written a poem, I believe, about Greenville and how much you loved it.
Yep. Is now the time you'd like me to just.
Yeah, now this is when we do that. Yes.
All right. This is good. This is good. yeah, I like that Greenville a lot. It really is great. It makes me happy that I am in, yeah, that Greenville.
Man, that was moving. It's touching. That was good stuff.
That was choice. That was choice, pal. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I've been working on it all day.
Yeah, well, I can tell.
Speaking of choice, Universal Yums continues to come in clutch. Mm. We did an unboxing of the holiday box, and I'm still dreaming about it.
Oh, man. The champagne Prosecco bonbons. Come on. I mean, just come on.
And you go to universalyums.com/Hallmark to get on the action.
And that's actually why we're in separate rooms, is we were fighting over the holiday box. That's the real – we want to say that it's this cord thing or it's this challenge, but it's just the box.
So how did this help?
I don't know. We don't have to look at each other, like, in person.
Your presence makes me sick.
Yeah, I don't know. No. Panda took the last bonbon. You were there. He took the last bonbon. Then you took the last popcorn truffle, and you left me over there with just some beef chips. And I can't. What are you guys doing to me over there? And so I said, get out, go to jail, Brian. Don't pass go.
Okay. You guys are talking about Dickens of a holiday.
I sure am.
This is a real Dickens of a situation we're in.
It sure is. Dickens of a Holiday originally aired on December 10th, 2021, and it went a little something like this. Cassie is helping her town of Dickens, Ohio, with the 100th anniversary of Dickens Day. It all ends with a production of A Christmas Carol, and it's a pretty big deal. Town legend Ray is supposed to play Scrooge, as he always does, but he never shows up to practice. What's going on? Cassie's mom told everyone that Cassie worked on Broadway, and so the expectations are quite high, despite it being more like off Broadway. Dan, you know about that.
Oh, for sure. Boy, do I. The years I spent off Broadway.
Give me a quick Jimmy Calhoun.
Yeah. I'm gonna be live. I'm gonna be here. Don't stop me now.
The mayor drops some bad news. Ray has laryngitis and can't be Scrooge. Ray writes the name of the
white boy. Was that supposed to rhyme? The mayor drops some bad news. Ray has laryngitis and can't be Scrooge.
Ray writes a name on the whiteboard. Jake Dorsey. The mayor loves it. Jake is the biggest name to ever come out of Dickens, Ohio. He's a big action star. But Cassie is unsure, because action star doesn't mean Dickens. We see Jake shooting an action scene on top of a car, and it is magical. Cassie gives him a call, and he's like, I can't do it. I'm going for this career-defining role. I don't have time to play Scrooge in your little community play. His agent tells him that he did not get the role of a lifetime. They don't think that he can be a serious actor. So he decides to do the Dickens thing in hopes of showing off his acting chops in a play with a big Broadway director in Cassie. Cassie is very surprised, but she's happy that the play is saved. The next day, Jake kind of goes missing, doesn't show up for costume fitting, or when the mayor announces that he's gonna be in the play in front of the whole city, he just doesn't show up. And Jake tells Cassie he just wants to lay low. So when an opportunity comes for him to wear Santa and wear a beard where no one knows who he is, he jumps at the opportunity. And he gets to spend time with his nephew, Brandon.
Hey!
And his brother is clearly not a fan of this quick drop-in. Jake starts rehearsing as Scrooge, and he's having a hard time figuring out how to play him. So she pulls him aside later and helps him get in the right frame of body. Does some things with the chin to figure out, this is what Scrooge is like. Give me one more, Dan.
I'm Hunnaby. I'm gonna be live. I'm gonna be here. I'm Jimmy Callahan.
Why is Jimmy Callahan always gonna be live?
And gonna be here, which is weird because typically if you're live, you're also in the place where you're live. And that is why he was off Broadway.
Right.
Is because he thought he needed to let people know that he was both live and here. And that, I think, was a mistake.
I would still suggest that was the best $5 we ever spent on tickets.
Oh, man. It was life-changing, Jimmy Callahan was.
I'd say.
And the thing is he's playing a different role, but he would still say he's playing some guy named like Royce Diggles, but he still says, I'm Jimmy Callahan during the performance, which,
yep,
not great, Jimmy.
Classic Royce Diggles. back to the synopsis at hand.
Oh, we're still doing that. I forgot.
He tries to work on things with his brother, and he's not having it until Cassie does some little work and talks about pot pie. So Cassie and Jake keep hanging out, and they end up having a very romantic carriage ride. Jake does an interview for Cleveland Today, and he pulls Cassie over, and they're like, what's your favorite Jake Dorsey movie? And she has never seen a Jake Dorsey movie. And you think that that would be something that would really bother this guy, this big action star. No, it does not. He's surprised about the whole situation. And my guy just wants to keep hanging out with Cassie. He helps her decorate her Christmas tree. And after a quick visit to their neighborhood, Ace Hardware.
Ooh, Ace Hardware.
I know.
Man, those are the best.
I love Ace Hardware.
You can get anything you need there.
You really can. A Christmas tree, no problem.
Christmas tree, no problem.
And the sparks are flying. He makes up with his brother, and they have a sweet hug situation. She helps him with a really big scene in the movie, and his assistant films him crushing it and sends it to the executives for the big movie, and the big movie executives love it, and they want to meet him on Christmas Eve, right when the Dickens play is supposed to be going on. And he's like, no way I'm leaving to do that. And Cassie's like, you have to go. You helped me remember that I love directing. You did it. So we're going to be okay. He's like, I'm not leaving. And she's like, I'm kicking you out of the show. And he's like, well, I guess, what do you do? What do you do about that? and so he's like, what about us? And she's like, I need to figure out my own future before I can have one with someone else. And so he goes on his way, and she decides that she's going to play Scrooge herself and gives an impassioned speech about community theater that I think we were all looking for in our lives. But then Jake ends up showing up, and he told the executives that they can shove off. And he does the show, and he crushes it. And afterwards, we don't really find out about if he ends up getting the role or not. I guess he didn't. And they end up kissing as the snow falls. And that, my friends, was Dickens.
Dickens of a Holiday. We did it.
We nailed it, boys.
Man, feel good about it.
We got one more quick song?
We do? Who's that over there? They're not right here. You know how I know, because I'm live and I'm here. I'm Jimmy Callahan.
I love that
song.
It was one too many.
That's what it was. We played one too many, and that's on Trace. Trace, whisper's still in effect. I want to be clear.
There's nothing I can do about it. you guys want to take a quick break?
I'd love to, Bray.
We'll be right back here on
Deck the Hallmark.
Welcome back, everybody, to Deck the Hallmark After Dark.
Pajama edition
with our sexy voices. Guys, the pool is right behind me. Do you want me to take this over to the pool?
I mean, he asked if we were going to use the pool, and we said no.
That's pretty ironclad.
Yeah. When you say no, you say no. Let's dive into this movie. Let's start with the hot take. Panda. We actually came to New Jersey partially for Christmas Con, but also the New Jersey's Citizen Brigade wanted to give you a trophy for giving hot takes that are worth a darn. And so we had to do that. And so, Panda, give people what they're looking for. Give us a hot take that's worth a darn.
Guys, I got all the darns you possibly could want right here. This movie is a top five movie for me. I loved it. Chris absolutely crushes it in this movie. And so does Brooke. She is wonderful in this movie. There's some amazing scenes in this. I was absolutely riveted by this story, even though it's one that we've seen before. It felt new. It felt fresh. It felt, just really enjoyable to watch. And they play really well off of each other. Chris gives a performance where he just immerses himself into this role. It is a delightful movie from beginning to end. Two thumbs up, big fun, maybe 10.
I gave 10 of 10?
Stamp it, boys.
Stamp 10 it. Of 10.
10 of 10 for a Hallmark for this year. It's still not as good as Unexpected Christmas, but it's still very good.
So what's that? Also a 10 of 10, I assume?
Yeah, it's 10 of 10 plus. I like to 10 give of my 10 plus.
So it's still 10, but it's out of something called 10 plus, which makes it higher.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's not 10 plus out of 10. It's 10 of 10 plus.
No, it's a 10-10.
Plus. I got it. Yeah.
I agree with Panda.
It's a shakier bridge than you thought it was going to be. Yeah.
top three movie for me, it is, guys, you know me. Why do I even try to hold my cards? I'm flashing them to you. And all the cards say is, I love Chris Palaha. Flush. I love Chris
Palaha. They say, I love Chris Palaha, flush?
Yeah, they do.
Interesting. Because
I
do.
I love Chris Palaha, flush. And this is his best Hallmark movie performance. And my new favorite Christopher Palaha movie. I just absolutely adored this movie. His performance, not just as Jake, but as Scrooge. Performance when he's on his knees and he finally gives that impassioned performance that's being recorded. Your boy cried at a performance. Within a performance. Like,
yep. I teared up too. Yeah,
it took me to another level. I absolutely adored that performance, and I absolutely adored Brooke. She was so good in this movie. This whole movie worked for me across the board. And the thing that I liked about this movie a lot is the fact that we thought that he was going to get to the thing, and then he was going to be like, "Oh, you know what? I need to go back." But he didn't. He just said, I'm not going to go. And we don't get any resolution on that. We don't know what the executives thought of that decision. Probably didn't like it. And I appreciate that they didn't give us all of those answers. They didn't tie everything up in a nice bow, because there's a part of Jake's career that is now a question mark about what comes next. And so I like that. I like that we still have actual questions. The performances were all knockouts and I love Chris Palaha flush. So
I love Christopher Palaha flush. 10 out of 10 plus is those are the two hot takes.
That is the hot takes.
And you're this saying you're New here Jersey, for, guys. The New Jersey Citizens Brigade is what you're talking about. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm really honored. Look,
this is in a year where we've had a lot of advancements in what Hallmark's willing to try. This has the trappings of a very standard, you know, boilerplate Hallmark movie. And it is one by and large, all the way down to, you know, a dueling play and party that both take place Christmas Eve night, which is just absurd. And so there's a lot of this that just checks the perfunctory boxes of unfortunate. But the performances in this movie are the best performances we've seen all year. Yes, that includes Tyler Hines and Unexpected Christmas. Yes. It does. I'm sorry. These performances by these two leads crush it. They just do. I mean, I would maybe still say Bethany Joy Linz is my favorite a performance from a leading lady.
It's not Christopher, another guy that even holds a candle.
Oh, my gosh. Christopher Palaha is just operating on another level right now.
Yes.
And here's the thing is, he didn't have to. Like, he didn't have to do that. That's not what he's getting paid to do. He does it because he loves it, and he cares about making something worthwhile on the Hallmark Channel. And so we talked about to him. He was very excited about this movie, and rightfully so, because they finally gave him a chance to show those chops. And boy, did he have the chops. He's great in this. I don't know what you guys are talking about, crying on the Scrooge scene. That's ridiculous. He's great. He's great in that scene. He's great in the movie. Brooke D'Orsay, the undersung Brooke D'Orsay, who is sometimes in films of lesser than average quality or quality that sometimes we give a hard time, and she's an unfortunate byproduct of that. She's wonderful in this. Has two or three scenes where I was like, oh my goodness, like what she's doing here is just also next level. And because weirdly enough Palaha gets more screen time, what she's doing could easily go unnoticed. She's wonderful, and she's nuanced, and she's layered, and she does an amazing job. And so these two characters in a movie that I found to be meh, these two characters lift the material up into – I've not looked at it. I watched it on a plane this morning. It's probably going to be a top five movie for me as well.
Praise hands emoji.
You did it? Praise hands emoji?
Yeah.
What do you think the California Citizens Brigade? Are we waiting on them for an award? Have they been really tough? Is Tammy the holdup?
Yes, Tammy's the holdup. And I don't know why you had to bring it up. Yes, of course. Sorry. Tammy's the holdup.
You know, that's a sensitive topic for me.
That's right.
That brigade, I can't even. Let's get to all the feels. It's part of the show. Get off us about the crying, Dan, first of all. Like, shove off. let's get to it. Panda, feels?
Yeah. So a scene to me that is the best scene in a Hallmark Christmas movie this year, one of my favorite scenes I've seen in a Hallmark movie, is the scene that you referenced earlier, Bryn, where he is being coached by Cassie. Jake's being coached by Cassie on how to perform. He just can't get right, and he's on his knees, and he gets into this dramatic performance. But here's why that scene works. Not only does Chris do a great job there, but Brooke really sells that scene. Yeah. She sells it as this director who really helps him connect, and she's compassionate and deeply emotive, and you see her true skill and ability as a director. And that's when you realize, oh wow, she really is good enough to be on Broadway. That scene is amazing to me, and it is, for these type of movies, transcendently good. We've talked about this movie to a couple fans today, and everyone references the scene as super memorable, and rightfully so. This is next level. I cried. And what's incredible about that is, I know, Dan, you're making fun of us for it, but I think that shows you the skill and ability that we're watching somebody perform inside a performance, and he brought the Christmas Carol to life to me in a way. I've seen the Christmas Carol as a play, and the way he did it, just it brought emotion for me. I mean, and I've seen Christmas Carol so many times that I kind of feel numb to it, but he just did in such a way that it made it feel alive to me, and her just bringing it together, man, that scene is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. In that same vein, obviously that scene did it for me, but the scene earlier where she's helping him like loosen the face and do like It was a really good scene. A little sensual, like a little. You feeling it when you're feeling it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
but also just a really good scene. Like both the thing that I think both of them in this movie, like they're just in the pockets.
It's just one pocket, buddy. It's not plural.
No,
they're in the pocket.
They're each in their own pocket.
So they don't really come out and act together. They're just in their own acting pocket.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
They're in the pocket. One pocket.
They're each in their skills pocket.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. It's in the pocket, singular. That's what it is.
They are each in a pocket.
No pocket can contain these people.
Okay.
No.
So can I just say this to you real quick?
They're hot pockets.
One hand.
Yeah.
This hand is Chris Pallotta. Yep. Say goodbye. He's going in a pocket.
Bye, Chris.
I'm not gonna cross my other hand, who's Brooke, I'm not gonna cross to put it in the same pocket.
The whole point of being in the pocket is doing something where you're in connection with someone else. When a band is in the pocket, they're playing really good together. Why wouldn't these two actors be in the same pocket, Brand? Stop dying on this hill. It's a bad hill to die on.
No, the pants are the connection.
The pants are the connection. They're in the same pants.
They're in the same pants, different pockets.
No, pants.
Yes.
That's what
Single. I... Pant.
Yes. But
pants.
Separate pockets. Is what you're saying.
Pants.
Just say singular pocket.
You say pant pockets.
Don't do it, Brian.
I'm not going to give up on this. They are in the pockets. They're their pockets. Dan, what you got, buddy?
I got a new field. It's Brian standing by pockets. Pocket watch. That's right. It's a very little thing, but I loved it. Brooke D'Orsay, they're practicing, and Palaha looks over and says, that girl's totally into that guy, or that guy's totally into that girl. And she says, a girl always knows when a guy's into her. And she walks off, and under his breath, he says, not always. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment for me. Like, that was the moment. It wasn't all this other stuff. I know that Chris can act like, you know, he got to overact with Scrooge, which I think he crushes, right? And I know he can act subtly. I know he's got that range. But you give me that little, like, this flame that he's never lost for this girl, like, and he does it so great. That was my feels in this movie.
I love it. Let's take one more quick break and we'll come back.
Panda's also in the pocket right now. Don't worry.
I'm in the pocket, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Banging out on those.
Yeah.
It's dark in the pocket.
It is. That's why there's two of them.
Well, you need a lot. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, everybody, and I've got good news.
Okay.
I talked to Johnny Pockets.
Okay. How did that help?
Well, what do you mean, how did that help?
He always is helpful.
He's the definitive voice on Pockets.
Is he the definitive voice?
Voted by you, the fans. And yes, we are correct.
Wow. Yes, one of us, the collective we, is correct, yes.
We?
No, me and Brian are.
That ledge is shaky enough with one person on it, Panda. I'm just letting you know, it could just...
No, pull. I'm coming along, boys. Don't you worry. Don't you hold me back.
Thought you might. Flying.
let's
go flying? When did that come into the picture?
I think you know. I'm in the that pocket right now,
ledge.
Man.
That would help the ledge. If you flew, it would help the ledge.
Exactly.
let's go to the wait what, where we talk about one of those movies. Let's go wait what, Panda?
I just have a question about the Christmas Carol play itself. The guy who's been doing this up for years, Ray, it gives, for by all accounts, an iconic performance. My question is, why do they only do it then on Christmas Eve? Like, that's the worst night to be having a play. Why would you not? I just don't understand why, if it's that good of a performance and this is a huge boost to the town, why wouldn't you just schedule multiple times for this play to happen? You don't ever just do a one shot, do you? Like, if it's that big of a deal.
I think I 100% agree with you. The idea of a Christmas Eve play, the night of Christmas Eve, absurd. A lot of things in this movie are absurd like that. But when we say iconic, I don't think we mean iconic like Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. I think we mean like the town talks about this guy for the remainder of the year. It's not like an actually award-winning performance. It's this thing that the drama teacher from high school does that people love to see once a year. Even if the Christmas Eve thing is dumb, but I gathered that he's not actually an amazing actor, but he's taught all these amazing actors. And so this is his one time to step back in every year. And that's
I got the impression that it was drawing other people from other towns. And maybe I thought they mentioned that, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
They said they couldn't get anybody from Cincinnati to come in town until Palaha took over the role.
Oh, okay. Okay. The second thing is the hot chocolate stand and the signs within this little marketplace. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but all like the people in a typical stand, you have one person on one side serving the hot chocolate to the other side. It's pretty standard stuff, but the sign is always facing the person serving the hot chocolate. Like he's standing on the wrong side of the booth. I don't understand. The third and final thing I never got any resolution on is why did they have to interview Chris at the ice skating rink? What was going on there? Like, of all the places for the interview, it's just also
especially
the ice
with
skating rink.
His director skating in the background. Like that.
I don't understand. The scene made no sense.
Skating hard.
Yeah. Well, whatever stunt double it was skating hard. Yes. Yeah.
Hard. I only have a couple guys. It is a bold choice, and I feel like this has happened before, but I'm reminded of it, to announce somebody in front of a group of people without knowing if they are there or not.
Big time.
To say, hey, superstar, you gotta check if that guy is there, right? Is there anyone out there that's just like, let's do this thing.
let's just go for it.
it's a bold move. And my last one is she tried to take a selfie with a flash on, and I don't know what type of monster you are, but we don't do that here. No, we
do not do that here. Nope. At one point, Chris Pala's character says the line, "I don't know who Scrooge is on the inside." Now, it would be one thing if this was a play written by someone in town. This is Ebenezer Scrooge. You're an actor. I get you're having trouble with the motivation. I get you've been doing movies and you got to do screen. The idea that an actor doesn't know the basic motivation of Ebenezer Scrooge, patently absurd. Patently absurd, hard for me to get past. That didn't take away from anything he does in the movie. It just was a little bit of a bridge too far for me. She can't think of a single movie title of his. Not a one. Can't think of a single movie title. Like, the guy has been in movies. She at one point knows his catchphrase. How do you not just know one movie? Just to be like, what's his favorite movie? Just say one. There's not going to be any follow-up questions. Just say a movie. It's not hard to do. We get to see the inside of this theater pretty early on. And later, after the interview, they claim that the interview is responsible for bringing thousands of more people to this play. I have bad news. That theater is not going to hold any more people before the Cincinnati interview than it does after the Cincinnati interview. That's a 500 seat boy is what that is. Maybe 1,000. the thousands more people, are they watching on a Jumbotron outside? Because they're not coming into theater. I can tell you that right now. Like, you didn't have it in an amphitheater, bro. That thing's smaller than the Peace Center in, yeah, that Greenville. And you're like, thousands more people are coming. To do what? Try to scalp tickets? They're not getting in. They're just not. I'm sorry. That's bad. It's a bad job all the way around. They are, once again, in the five-star Christmas Inn in this movie, a.k.a. Jake Epstein's house, as you may know it, which is wild. But there's one other venue that was interesting to me. I believe that the mayor's office, the mayor of Dickens, his office is in his house. Like, he doesn't have an office at the mayor's office. They say they need to go to the mayor's office, and they show up at this guy's house. Like, are they still in his... It's his personal office? Is that where they are? Lastly, Ace Hardware. Guys, I just don't know. What are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, this is why this movie can't be number one for the year. Like, I would not have it there anyway. But just bags of Ace Hardware. We're getting our tree at Ace Hardware. I used to work there. It was the best job I ever had. Like, how much – we are – just this side of saying the benefits and pay rates of just handing out applications to people in the viewing audience, right?
Well, can I ask you this, Dan? Have you ever been to an Ace Hardware?
I have, and it is no such magical place that they talk about in a Dickens of a Holiday. I can tell you that right now. It is not.
But they do have stuff. They always have what I'm looking for, right?
Do they? I don't know. You're the one looking.
Well, one time, Dan and I loaded a...
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Some chairs into the back of his truck, and we didn't have any straps.
And we stopped by Ace.
We stopped by Ace Hardware after, you know, of course, I stood in the back of the truck and held them on.
Well, you're not going to drive my truck. I mean, come on.
No, I'm a human strap baby.
That's right. Human strap baby. I saw them live. They sounded like they'd be so good.
So this is 75% of the show was good, but the other half felt a little loose.
75% was good. The other half felt loose. That's some fuzzy math. They were in the pocket the whole time. I can tell you that right now.
You get off the pocket. Pan and I are right in this situation.
Yep. We've got both pockets to prove pocket. It.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
Also saw Pockets to Prove It live. Wonderful band.
Opened up for Human Trap, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Pockets to Prove It song, Panda?
I really like the song Gimme Gimme All the Pockets.
All right. Let's get to the What the Hallmark is the part of the show. We talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what, Panda? I'm afraid, but you, go ahead.
You just said we talk about what in this movie makes us go, wait, what? We've already done that segment.
What the Hallmark? You get
You know who's not in the pocket?
They're like the big baggy
JNCO cargo pockets.
We are in those pockets.
Man, somewhere in there,
so much in those pockets. Oh, so much. Back in the day I could put my Game Boy in there.
The big boy too, the 4-bit,
couple pocket watches.
So great.
Panda, what the Hallmark, bro?
I want to know. I was trying to figure out what is a comparison for an actor, the popularity of Jake in this movie compared to, like, what level action star are we talking about here? Are we talking like, like a Tom Holland kind of character where he's at right now, where everyone like loses their mind? Because it's interesting. He shows up in the small town and you don't see the media rush that I would imagine somebody of just the highest, like, most intense caliber. Is he like a little bit lower? Is he like Keanu Reeves? Is he lower than that? Like, where is he? I would like to know about where he's at. He clearly has a catchphrase that people know, but
yeah, I had a direct comp for him. In my opinion, he felt like Bruce Willis to me. Like, okay. Die Hard. He's got the yippee-ki-yay line, and then he does other action movies, but it's hard for him to find serious roles. And that was my comp, like a younger Bruce Willis, like in his prime Bruce Willis. That was my comp for him.
I got like, my parole officer said I got like 5 more minutes, so I'll speed this along.
Okay.
Obviously I just want to know what happens. Does he get, do the people understand? Like, oh, it's Christmas Eve. Like, let's give him some slack and just see him after the holiday season, like a normal person would say, or is this it for him? Does he not get to, you know, get that big spot that he was hoping for? So that's what I want to know. Dan?
Yeah, I got two. First of all, his brother, when the restaurant starts to go poorly, and I'm going to read this right off here. He sells one of the dining rooms to the shop next door. And what is that shop next door? What are they selling where they're like, yes, we will take your dining room? Like, what could they possibly be selling to where they're like, yeah, we'll put a wall up here in your dining room. We've now annexed the dining room. We've started to march in on your territory. Like, what are they selling? It's not a competing restaurant. What do they need a dining room for? What is it?
I think it's a display room. Display room.
Display room, brand?
Yeah, I think that it's I don't have time.
Fair enough. And then the second one is, they're about to light the tree together, Brooke and Chris, and they go, oh, do you remember? We're going to do it like we used to do. And they do one, two, three, and they put their hands out and the lights come on, which is a weird tradition to have in general, but it's weirder when those two people, from what I understand, really didn't talk in high school. That's even weirder. Yeah. So, yeah. So there you have it.
There you go. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Let's say we do one more of these episodes like this.
I love it.
More of it.
Queen's family Christmas. It's all Queen songs, ooh, but the words are changed to Christmas carols.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. Somebody. Can anybody jingle bells?
It's really good.
We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I would be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.